Hello, everybody. It's Della from The Beauty of Play, and today I want to talk about how to think about subtraction and subtraction strategies. So before we get into how to teach subtraction, I want to talk about the different ways we can think about subtraction. We can think about subtraction as the inverse of addition, as takeaway, as difference, or higher level as negative numbers. So if we're looking at the inverse of addition, this is transformations, and hopefully you're working on transformations on a regular basis. If I know that 3 + 2 = 5, then I also know that 5 - 3 = 2 and 5 - 2 = 3. These are transformations. If we're looking at them with the rods, 2 + 3 is the same as, or same length as, this 5. If I have 5 - 3, the difference here is 2, and 5 - 2, the difference would be 3. So these are transformations. Takeaway is something slightly different, but I think what we're most familiar with. If I have 4 in a group and I take away 2 of those, 2 are left. The difference is a big one, and this comes to play with strategies. So if I have a difference of 3 of two numbers, that means we can look at how far apart these two numbers are. So if I have the difference between 3 and 4, this is how far apart they are. This is very well illustrated on a simple number line. If we have the difference between 1 here and, let's say, 4 here, is a difference of 1, 2, 3 jumps here. And this comes into play when we look at the consistency of difference and how we can manipulate that later. So the difference here is between 4 and 7 is 3, but that same difference between 5 and 8 is also 3. So we can also look at it at higher numbers, which is 9 and 6, the difference is still 3. So this is done in a lot of staircase work, where you can start with 1 and build a staircase by a certain number. So that's 4, and if we add 4 and 3, that gives us 7, and if we add 3 to 7, that gives us a 10, and we can see that the difference here is always 3. And then the last one is that you can think of subtractions with negative numbers. Instead of 5 - 2 = 3, we're looking at 5 + -2 = 3. And you might think that this is a mild distinction, but we'll get into why that's important in just a second. The other thing that I want to talk about is the use of manipulatives. We always want to use a variety of manipulatives. I'm going to talk about using an abacus, and you'll see that I have the abacus set out in different place values. When you are subtracting, especially double digit numbers, we're going to need 2 rows for each place value. This allows for our regrouping. We'll also be using, of course, the rods, which I love for everything. We'll be using number lines because they work really well, and I'll also be talking about using the 100 chart. The first theme that I want to talk about is understanding transformations, which you can explain in a variety of different ways, but understanding that subtraction is the inverse or the opposite of addition. With the rods, this might look like, if we know 4 + 2 = 6, What else do we know? We know that if we take 4 away, we're left with 2. If we take 2 away, we're left with 4. So we also know that 6 minus 4 is 2, and 6 minus 2 is 4. And you can do that with takeaway, or you can also do with difference. So in this scenario, what fits in this space? What is the difference between the 4 and the 6? It is the 2. And then if we were to do it the other way, what is the difference between the 4 and the 2? It is the 6. So it's important to understand that inverse relationship, in the same way that later it's important to understand the inverse relationship between division and multiplication. Another basic subtraction strategy is counting down, which is similar to counting up in addition, a basic addition strategy. And it seems really simple, but it's just really important to know this one. So if we have like 6 minus 2, we can count backwards. So we have start with 6, and then we are 5, 4. And I usually use my fingers for this, but that is counting back, is understanding that. Eventually, we will get to a place where the familiarization of subtraction is so good in this basic subtraction that fact will be memorized. But again, these basic subtraction strategies get amplified as we go along, so it's important to know all of them. The other one that I have is counting up for subtraction, which sounds counterintuitive, but this is actually one of my favorite ways to do subtraction. So if I have a 2 here and a 6 here, and I'm wanting to know the difference between these two, so this would be 6 minus 2 is equivalent to what? And in this instance, what I would do is see how many jumps is to 6. So 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 jumps to 6, so the difference is 4. And I would suggest doing this on a physical hopscotch number line. And when you're doing a subtraction problem like this, where you're practicing counting up, you would look at your subtraction problem here, 6 minus 2. You start at the 2 and count the number of jumps that you're making until you get to 6. Now, a child is physically making these jumps. And I really like this kind of math because it involves motor skills, like large motor skills, and kinetic energy, and it invokes that muscle memory for math. This is maybe not the most efficient way, but this is another way of thinking of subtraction. And again, we're going to build on that. The other one is regrouping. It will be the simplest form, but again, we're going to be building on this. So 6 minus 2, what can I regroup this so that I can actually take 2 away from my 6? 6 is 2 plus 4. If I take away the 2, I'm left with the 4. I know these seem ultra simple. They are going to be important later on. And these often will be placed in number bonds, particularly the number bonds for 10. You want to have a really clear understanding of the number bonds from 1 to 10, and particularly for the number 10, because our number system is a base 10 number. And somebody asked me, what are number bonds? Number bonds are just simply numbers that add or sum together to give you whatever number you are doing number bonds for. So for 6, we might do 1 and 5, we might do 3 and 3, etc. There's a lot of play in this area and there's a lot of repetition, I'm using two rods for each of these, but it doesn't have to be. I can use a 1 and a 2 and a 3. And as you're working with young children with this, then you can decide to narrate it in such a way that you're understanding subtraction. Like if I used 1 and 2, who would complete this to make 6? 1 and 2 is 3, so I need another 3 to make 6. So this difference between 6 and 1 plus 2 is 3, or the difference between 4 and 6 is 2. So there's an understanding of that subtraction within the entire number bond for that, but particularly for 10, because our 10s are our number systems. So we want to make sure there's a lot of practice, and I go over some of the ways to practice number bonds for 10 in a specific drop for you, because it's so important. And another strategy for subtraction is understanding doubles. So if we have something like 15 minus 7, we know that 7 plus 7 is 14, and 15 is 1 over that, so 15 minus 7 is going to be 8. Or if we have 13 minus 6 or 14 minus 6, we know 6 plus 6 is 12. So 13 minus 6 has that additional 1, this is going to be 7. And 14 minus 6 has an additional 2, so that's going to be 8. That we have what's called constant difference. This is used a lot in staircase work. If we are using something like a staircase with the difference of 2 and I start with 1, my next number is going to be 3. And then if I am jumping this up here, my next number is going to be 5. And I have a constant difference here that you can see that I'm going up by 2 each time in my staircase. This constant difference is going to be important because we can see that when we shift our numbers, the difference is the same. So let's look at these two on a number line. My 1 here, and then to 3. So this is my difference here, and it's still 2, right? If I shift that from my 3 to my 5, that difference is still 2. And you can play with this looking at all the different places where your number is consistent. Here we started with 1 and are building a staircase, so we have a constant jump of 2s, but you can do the same thing with a number line where you're looking at the difference between whatever numbers. So maybe I'm looking at the difference between of 2. So I can do between 1 and 3, but I can also do between 2 and 4, and also do between 3 and 5. And what you want to notice here is that I'm adding 1 to my 1, and I'm adding 1 to my 3. So we're moving over one jump here and one jump here, but that difference is constant. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes why this is useful to us. In the same way with counting back in the number chart, we can say if we were on 11 and I subtracted 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, that puts me on 7. So this is a great manipulative. And again, when we get in the later years, this is going to be integral in showing more about how subtraction works, particularly number bonds for 100. In the same way, when we're looking at abacus, in the early years, we don't need these two for each. We're looking at basic addition and subtraction. And so if I have something like 9, and I want to take away 2 of those, what is left? I have 7. Or another way, if we're looking at difference, what is the difference between these 8 and these 5? It would be 1, 2, 3. And I can see that because when I put those 3 in there, they are equal. We can do subtraction by counting back. If I'm looking at something like 12 minus 3, then I can take these 2 to bring us to 10, and I need to take 1 more, which brings us to 9. So we can use all of these strategies in the same way with the abacus that we're also illustrating with the rod and number lines and the 100 chart. This builds upon understanding how it relates with different examples that gives us a better understanding of how the math and how. Let's look at higher level math with a 100 chart. And I love the 100 chart, it's so versatile. You can draw a 100 chart outside. If you decide to do that, I'm just gonna give you a little hint on how to do this so it's a little easier. I tend to draw a great big large square and then quarter my squares into 4 equal squares by cutting in half and then half. And then what I do with one square is estimate where that center is going to be and then 2 additional lines and do that both ways. That will allow you to cross section to others by extending those lines. Do basically the same thing with the other quarters. It's the easier way of drawing the 100 chart. And this allows like actual physical movement. The thing that you want to start with the 100 chart in addition and subtraction is scaffolding. So the first thing that we want to do is to first count by ones going up or count by ones going back, right? So if we're looking at 78 minus 7, I'll start at 78 and then I'm going to count 7 back, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that puts me on 71. Or if I am working at 47, then minus 5, I'm going to count back 5, and that puts me at 42. And they're able, you can do this, of course, with a sheet of paper or a block like this, and I will leave my 100 chart here so that you have easy access to it. Also, Hard Copy HQ has a beautiful version that you can purchase printed that is laminated that works beautifully. So after you have practiced going back and forth with ones, and these are without regrouping, we're always scaffolding, right? So we're going baby steps back and forth. Maybe first you do addition, then you do subtraction, not requiring any regrouping. Then you can work towards regrouping. So maybe have 45 minus 6, I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, and it gets me to 41, but then I have to take an additional 2 to get me to 49. Like I have to jump rows to do that. I have rearranged my chart to go from the bottom to the top. And this is important when you're doing higher level addition and subtraction, because our inclination is to add when we move up and subtract when we move down. So I've started my 1 down here and I've gone up to 100. If you download the 100 chart, you will see that I have both of the charts with the starting from the top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top. With addition and subtraction, it's really helpful to go from the bottom to the top. So I've rearranged this to show you how this might work. And the reason that we do this, I had talked about going up and down the tens first. It's because when we move up, we think of adding on or going greater or higher. When we move down, we think of subtraction or becoming less. And so what we need to understand in the chart is that when we add by 10, the number in the ones place stays the same. Like when we go from 30 to 50, our ending number is still zero, but we have a 5. And that is easy enough when we are counting by tens, because they tend to have a good understanding, which is why I suggested starting by tens. But eventually we want to move up and down other columns, like 56 minus 10 would be 46. We're changing the ones. We're moving by tens. 56 minus 20 would be 46. And we can count back as we go, 10, 20. I'm subtracting 20 there. And then we can start to add it all together. And I use this in the addition subtraction too. So you will see similar strategies here. If we have 56 minus 23, then we can count back by our 20s first, 56, 46, 36, and then subtract the additional 3, 1, 2, 3, and that gives us 33. And this is just one strategy for that. The other thing that I think is really important on the 100 chart is to practice the number bonds to 100. That's really helpful both in our counting up strategies and in other strategies just in general. For instance, if we're using the counting up strategy and we have like 126 minus 54, if I know that the number bond from 54 to 100 is 36, then I know that the difference between 54 to 100 is 36. And then I have this additional 26 to get to. So I'm essentially adding these two differences together, which gives me 62. So I can get from 54 to 100 by adding 46. I said 36, but it's 46. And then if I am adding all the way up to 126, then I have another 26 to add, which gives me, I said 62, but it's 72. So that is the reason that the number bonds for 100 are so helpful. And we spent quite a bit of time practicing the number bonds for 100 on our physical 100 chart outside in sidewalk chalk on pavement to practice this kind of thing. You can use a physical 100 chart too and physically move these. It is not quite the same as being able to jump out your map, but it's still very useful. You can still use a physical chart. The thing about using the 100 chart, again, is scaffolding. You want to go first right to left without requiring any regrouping, and then right to left that does require regrouping, right? So we are subtracting something over the 6 in the ones that I have to subtract, a 7 or an 8. So that moves us past this row and on to the next. And then you want to work just by themselves, moving up and down in tens. First on the tens row, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, etc. And then back and forth. So 40 or 70 minus 30, 10, 20, 30 gives me 40. That kind of thing. On the center columns, so 55 minus 30, 45, 35, 25. And then work towards where you're having to shift rows. So then you would maybe 55 minus 12, I would first take my 10, right? And then I have to subtract two others. It puts me at 43. And then you can check your answer by adding that 12 to the 43, right? Do I get 55 again? That kind of thing. Another way that you can use the 100 chart is by counting up in a strategy. So if I have something like 53 minus 27, in my counting up, I'm going to start at my 27. And then I can go 3, that puts me to 30. So I have 3, and now I'm at 30. I need to make it to 50. That gives me 20. And then an additional 3. 1, 2, 3. And that gives me 3. So my answer is 26. 3 plus 20 plus 6. Another way that you can do that is to start on your 27. And then count up till you get pretty close to 50, right? So 27, 37, 47 is the closest that I can get in tens without going over, because then I get to 57. That's too high. I only need 53. So I'm gonna start here, and that gives me 20. And then I can make it to 50 by adding 3. So that gives me 23, and then I can make it to 53 by adding an additional 3, and that makes it to 26. So you can first go to the nearest 10 and work your way up and then go further, or you can count by tens first and then count by ones, get to the end of the row, and then finish up with your ones. That is a counting forward strategy. Similar to the counting forward that we showed on the number line, if I'm looking at 6 minus 2, how many jumps does it take from 2 to 6? So it's turning a subtraction problem almost to an addition or problem. What can I add to get to my higher number or to get to my whole? So if I was using the abacus and I'm looking at 56 minus 23, I would start with my 23. I would need 2 of these and then 3 ones. That's my 23. How much do I need to get me to 56? So if I add 1, 2, 3 tens, that gives me to 53. So that's 3 tens, that's 30. And then I need 1, 2, 3 to get me to 56. So my answer is 33 for this in the same way. But this is a great way to make change, because you can start with what it costs and build up to what they gave you to know how much change you need to get. Let's look at regrouping, the regrouping strategy that I talked about. And this is really obvious when we start to work with our rods. Let's do that. Same 56 minus 23, what does that give us? So we would start out by finding 56 or building 56 with the rods, and we need to take away 23. We can very easily take away the tens, but we need to regroup this 6 into 2 threes before we can take away one of those threes. And then that's leaving us with 33. In the way that we did with the 100 chart of adding and subtracting and going in baby steps, we want to do that with the rods as well when we're doing regrouping. So when we're teaching double digit, we want to start out without the regrouping, where we're actually having to take a borrow and carry kind of thing, where we're having to take a 10, regroup it so that we can actually subtract that. And I'm going to show you a couple of different ways to do that, but we need a different problem for that. So let's take 28 from this 56. So I have 56. I need to take 28. I can take 20 from it, and then I have 36 left, but I don't have enough here to take 8. There are two different ways that you can do this. I know one is going to seem more complicated, but it's actually my favorite because mentally it's a lot more efficient. I can take this 10 and make this into 16 ones. And then I can regroup my 16 ones. I know that 8 and 8 make 16. So that leaves me with 28 down here. If I take 28, then I'm left with 28 for 56. We're taking away 28 again. I can take my 20 easily, but I cannot take 8 from 6. What I can do is know that I can take 6 away of those 8, but I still need 2 to take away. I can take that 2 now from a 10, leaving me with an 8, and that leaves 28. Let me illustrate this with another problem. Let's use 63 minus 27. I'm going to build my 63. And I want to take 27. I can very easily take 2 tens, but I cannot take this 3. It requires regrouping. What we usually take is this 10 and add that together, right, to make 13, and then subtract the 7 from that. But what you can do is say, okay, I know that 7 is made of 3 and 4, right? I have this 3, so I can go ahead and take this 3, and I still need to take 4. And the number bond between 4 and 10 is 6, right? So when I take this 4 from this 10, I'm left with 36. The reason that I like this particular method of doing it is it doesn't require any math facts over 10. And if you know the number bonds for 10 very well, it's super easy. So let's do that again. I have 63 and I need to take 27. So I can take 20 and I can take this 3, but I still need to take 4 because I needed to take 7, not 3. So I can take that 4 directly from another 10, right? Switching this 10 out with this number bond, 4 and 6. That gives us the 27 here that we're working to subtract. And then I have 36 left. So all I need to really understand is the number bond. The thing about the subtraction of two numbers as well is that you're only going to be borrowing or regrouping 110 or one of any place value if you're working on two numbers, because 9 and 9 is 18. 9 is the highest digit you can get in any place value. And so you're only ever going to be regrouping when you're adding or subtracting two numbers, one place value of any given thing. For instance, we are never going to be put in a situation where we're going to need to regroup 20 from here if we're just subtracting two numbers, because we can only add or subtract numbers to 18 in this place value, because 9 is the highest that will fit in this place value, and 9 plus 9 is 18. So we're only borrowing 1 from any given place value to regroup to allow for the addition or subtraction. This leads us into being able to subtract from left to right. I can see that this 6 minus 2 is 40, but when I look at this, I see that I'm going to have to regroup. I don't have 7 in this. So 6 minus 2 is 40, but because I'm going to regroup and take an extra 10, then this is going to be 30. And then this one you can do two ways. You can know that we regrouped that 10 to make this 13 minus 6, or 13 minus 7, which is 6. Or you can say, I can take 3 here, and I'm going to need to take an additional 4 from that 10, which will leave me with 6. In the written algorithm, we would first see that I have 3, which is not enough to take the 7. So I'm going to take 1 of my 10 and regroup it so that I have 13 ones, which now I can take the 7 from. And that leaves me, you can actually go through and look at the 7, match it up with the 6, and see that if we take away the 7, we're left with 6. Then I have 50, and I would remove the 4, which is 2. But I think for mental math, this is so much more efficient. Let's look at that same regrouping here with the abacus. For this, because we are doing it in a regrouping fashion, we are going to start with our 63. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And this is where we're going to need two rows to allow us to have over 10 for a regrouping. So I have 63, right? And I'm taking away 27. If you're teaching the algorithm, you're going to start by the ones. If you're teaching mental math, you're going to start with the tens. It's just whatever technique that you want to use. So if I'm looking at 63 minus 27, I can take 20 here, but I only have 3 to take here. I need more than 3. So what I can do is take this 10 and exchange it for these 10 ones. And now I have 13, and now I can easily take 7, and I'm left with 36. Building that again, and in the way that we would be teaching the algorithm, we're going to take 60 and 3, because that's what we're starting with, and this time we're going to subtract 27. If I'm teaching the algorithm, we're starting with our ones. I don't have enough ones, so I have to exchange this 10 for these 10 ones. And now I have 13 ones, and I can now take the 7 that I need. I can take these 3 and these additional 4. So that has removed my 7, and I have 6 ones, and that 6 is going into that column. Now I have 5 tens, and I need to remove 2 of those, so I have 36 left. It works both ways. One, for teaching the algorithm, you need to start with the ones. For teaching mental math, you need to start with the twos for regrouping with an abacus. We can also use doubles. Let's look at this 56 minus 23. We know that 23 doubled is 46, and that's going to leave us with an additional 10. So 23 plus 10 equals 33, and that is our answer. Anything that doubles pretty close to the answer. So let's do another one, 57 minus 25. I know 25 and 25 is 50, and then I have this additional 7. So it's going to be 25 plus 7, which is 32. So that is another mental math technique where we are looking at doubles to help us figure out or calculate what this means. It helps quite often if you can recognize that the double of what you're subtracting is going to be pretty close to the whole that you're subtracting from. So if let's look at one more, 36 minus 15. 15 and 15 is 30. So I know that I have 6 more So 15 plus 6 is 21. If we look at that on a timeline, so if this is 15 and this is 36, basically I know if I double this is going to bring me to 30, and that's 15, right? And then I'm adding an additional 6. So these are the two differences I have, a difference of 15 and a difference of 6. And when I add those differences together, they give me the total of the subtraction. Working on a number line, we can also use this to do the adding to subtract that we talked about. So if we're looking at 63 minus 27, we can put 27 on the number line. And the same way that we did with the 100 chart, we have two different ways of doing this. We can first take 27 to 30, and that gives us 3, and 30 to 60, and that gives us 30, and then we have the additional 3, and that gives us to 63. So that is 33. And when you are writing it out like this, it seems horribly inefficient. But when you do it in your mind, it is quite quick to go from 27 to 30, which is 3. Then I'm going to skip to 60, which is 30. An additional 3 gets me to 63. So my answer is 36. The other way that you can do it is to jump by tens first. So I can go to 27, to 37, to 47, D7. But if I jump to 67, it's going to be too high. So I'm going to jump to 3 to get me to 60 and an additional 3. So that gives me 10, 10, 10, 3, and 3. Again, we are not thinking through like this. We're going straight from 37 to 57, which I know is 30. And then 3 to 60, an additional 3, so that's plus 6, so 36. That is what adding to subtract looks like on a number line. Constant differences are also really helpful on a number line. It's easy to see that if we are subtracting something like 27 from 56, right? 27 is really close to 30, which would be so much easier to subtract. So I'm going to add 3 here to bring me to 30, but I have to add 3 here to bring me to 59. And then I can just look at the difference here, 29. And that is going to be the same difference between 27 and 56 because I've kept my difference the same. These numbers are having the same difference as these numbers. It's a constant difference. So you can shift left or right depending on what the number is to make it easier. It's much easier to subtract a 10 or a 100 than it is to subtract 27. Looking at that again, let me make up another one. Let's do 36 and 54, right? So 54 minus 36, we can essentially add 4 to each of those. So if we add 4 this way, that brings us to 40. If we add 4 this way, that brings us to 58. And then we can take 58 minus 40, which gives us 18. Way that it works is that they were keeping the difference constant by adding the same number to both or subtracting the same number. That works as well, but oftentimes it's easier to add, and this bringing this bottom number closer up to the next 10 makes it a little easier. Okay, those are some of the strategies for addition subtraction. I hope that is helpful. If you have any questions, let me know. And until next time, enjoy your math journey.